All you lovers, I'm liking it. Come on in today. Can someone please check in with our guest? Courage, can you please check in with our guest? Welcome, welcome. We're just waiting for our guest to join us and we can dive into today's session proper. The courage to love again. Lover boys and girls, tonight is for y'all. When we were picking the topics, it was not a question of, should I love, right? Today is more a question of, what is stopping you right now based on what has happened before? It's not as if you don't want to love right now, but there's something from before that is hindering right now. Yeah, it does take a lot of courage to love again and even a lot more. See, trusting again is hard. People don't talk about that thing. Trusting someone is hard. And then you give someone your trust and they mess it up. And now someone is trying to convince you that this random stranger you just met 3 months ago is going to be more trustworthy than the person you knew for 3 years who messed up. Trusting is hard, but life without trust will be crappy. Because if we don't trust people, we don't connect with them. If we don't connect to them, then we have to figure out life by ourselves. And that is a problem. Welcome, Hanis. Welcome. So put in the comment section. Tell me, what are you expecting to get today? Quick, 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 in the comment section. I'm reading, I'm going to start reading it out. What do you expect to get from today's session? Someone already said it takes a lot of courage to love again and even a lot more to trust again. So we're not just going to talk about the courage to love. We're also going to talk about the courage to trust and also how not to just give your love or your trust to anybody. I mean, someone just said, have you had conversations with people and they say things like, trust me, I will do it. I'm like, how do I trust you? What have you done that wants to make me trust you? Right? Trust is not a gift. It's not souvenir. It's not something you go to conference and they say, oh, for coming, this is your bottle of trust. That's not how it works. Expect to find the right love. The right love to love. I don't get, is it the right person to love or the right version of love? I don't get that question, your expectation. Please put your expectation in the comment section though, so I can know how to ask questions, ask him questions that would meet your expectations. So I don't just ask him questions based on what I want, but questions that would help you move to where you want to go. Tips on how to trust the vulnerability and all. Okay, the right version. Oh, nice, nice. Because it's actually possible to love someone, but then you're loving them from like a tricky place. That's true. If you have trust issues, there's a possibility that when you love people, the love you give them is not the right version of love. The love you give them has hoops. They always have to jump through hoops to prove to you that they are worthy. Okay? Efwa, stop laughing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, give me. What are your expectations? Put it in the comment section. Your expectation cannot be to laugh at people's expectations. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hi, hi. How are you, Majesty Ma? The beloved. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. We're still waiting for our guests to join in. Your expectation. How do you know is the right time to love again or trust again? I like that question. I love that question because sometimes we can have the right intention, but it can be a wrong time. It really can be a wrong time. People say things like there can never be a wrong time to love. Well, that actually takes a measure of growth and balance. It takes a measure of growth and balance for you to be able to find love in a time where you didn't plan for it and you still make it work. For example, it's scientifically proven that when people fall in love, their attention span reduces because of the excitement. They always want to chat with this person. Those of you who are falling in love, just raise your hand. You know yourself. You want to chat. You want to text. You want to call. Your mind is not always where it used to be. So the way you would have, let's say you're a student, you would have read for 3 hours straight. Now you're reading for 15 minutes and thinking of bros. You're reading for 15 minutes and you're thinking of her. Then you send a chat. You come back. You read for 15 minutes. You send a chat. You're looking at the chat. Did she respond? Did he respond? That is affecting your attention span. That is affecting your productivity. And so if you don't take care, something that is supposed to improve your life, bless your life, make you a better person can turn into like a heavy distraction and you can start hating it. So that's a valid question we would add to the list. Mary, welcome. So right now we're in the expectation section, right? Put in your expectation in the comments. Someone's expectation is to find out if Erastus is single and I intend to ask that question. Sir, can we slide into your DM? I just want to know. I'm asking for a sister. I'm just asking, you know. No, but I mean, it's a valid question. If he's going to come and give us the courage to, you know, love again, is he available to be the one we love again? I mean, let's just find out. Hi. Okay, expectations. Oh, you're here for that too. Wow. It's a valid question. You're going to come and convince us and say love again. You know, you need to be bold. You need to be daring. You need to try. Sir, can we try with you? Okay. While we wait for him, you know what? I'm just going to go into a teaching session so that just in case he's having network glitches and cannot join us tonight, tonight will not be a wasted session. So I'm going to go all the way to the top and take from the first person's expectation, and I'm going to start answering that. I know he's going to join us. It's impossible that would have planned tonight and he won't join us or send a message. So it takes a lot of courage to love again and even a lot more to trust again. If you want to love again, I like a bit of analytics. I like to analyze things a bit, right? Why aren't you loving right now? Is it because someone hurt you? If it's because someone hurt you, what happened in the situation of a breakfast? They served you breakfast. Or you served someone breakfast. Because you can serve someone breakfast and still be heartbroken. I hope you know. You can be the one who served breakfast and still be heartbroken. So if it was because your previous relationship ended, you're not able to trust again. What made your previous relationship not hold? What made it end? Was there the issue of this person not being proud of you? Were there untruthful conversations? You want to say something, but you are afraid of how to react. So you were always sweeping things under the carpet, or they were always sweeping things under the carpet. Whatever it was that made your last relationship break up, you want to fix that problem. Because it's easy to say my ex was a fool. What we don't understand is that there's something in us that receives a fool. If this person was a fool, this person was amazing at some point to you. This ex was amazing at some point. So if that relationship did not work, what made it not work? Right? What happened? Were there communication issues, sex issues, family issues, trauma issues that you both did not deal with? At my therapy business, Lisa Express, there's a tool called Between Your Ex and Your Next. When we're creating that tool, it was because a lot of people are stuck in the middle between their ex and their next, right? They're just moving in between. They're moving in circles. Is it that they choose a new person who looks like their ex, acts like their ex, sounds like their ex, reminds them of their ex, or they get into a next relationship with someone, but the next person does not look any different from the ex? Why? They keep going back to that old relationship. And the reason they're going back is because they've not resolved certain problems. What were the problems with your last relationship? Have you resolved them? If it's the fact that you didn't know how to say no in the relationship, or you didn't know how to tell your side of the story, have you learned to speak assertively now? Because if you haven't, you will get in your next relationship and you will do the exact same thing. You will get in this new relationship. This guy will be fantastic. This lady will be fantastic. But you still won't say your thoughts. You still won't say the things that offend you. You still won't say the things that hurt you. One day you wake up and you'll be fed up and you'll walk away again. That's why we ask people, if you've gone through 2, 3, 4 breakups, the question is, what was the duration between each of these breakups? The breaks in between, what did you use the breaks to do? You know, it's possible that you end a relationship, you are single, but nothing is changing in your life. You know that's possible. Like, you leave a relationship because the relationship is, say, maybe toxic. You leave the relationship, but you can leave the relationship and still sit down for 5 years and say, oh, I'm single for 5 years, I'm having time for myself. By year 8, when you get to your next relationship, you will still misbehave like the last relationship. You know why? Because that break in between, you were supposed to use it to heal. And so the question I'm going to throw at you right now is, have you healed? That last relationship, have you healed from it? If the person broke your trust, what did they do in particular that broke your trust? Did they lie to you? If they lied to you, that means, okay, possibly lie is a deal breaker for you. If lie is a deal breaker for you, the people you are meeting now, the friends you are meeting now, because you might date your friend. It's actually advisable that you date your friend. So if you're going to date your friends right now, any of your friends right now, do your friends lie? Because if your friends lie, and you're going to date among your friends, and lie is a deal breaker for you, you will likely date a liar because you're surrounded by them. So if you want your next relationship to not be like the past relationship, you need to heal from the last relationship. But more importantly, you want to heal the things that made the last relationship end. When it comes to trust, I said it earlier, trust is not a gift. Sorry, trust is not a gift. When you meet someone newly, there's a measure of fundamental trust everybody gets. In court, they say is innocent until proven guilty, right? On the street, if they say, oh, this lady stole money, we just carry tire and stick, start hitting her and all of those things. But in the court of law, that's not how it works. In the court of law, they say the person is innocent until proven guilty. So if you meet someone new, give them the benefit of doubt. Give them a foundational trust. What is your foundational trust like? Some of us just meet people and we jump into relationships like this person was waiting for our open heart. Yes, there are relationships where we get connection, but it does not mean that someone you just met, you don't know their opinion on stuff. You've not asked them questions. You've not had conversations. You guys have not done talk time in court. And then you're beginning to tell them your deep traumas. You're beginning to tell them the things, rules and regulations of how to love you. You're scaring them. You're scaring them because you've also not earned their trust. I hope you know it's a two-way street. It's easy for you to say, oh, I don't easily trust people. Can people easily trust you? Are you trustworthy? If you and your ex broke up and you're now all over talking about how your ex was this, your ex was that, did they know your ex did this, and did they know your ex did that? Excuse me, that was the ex you were crazy about once upon a time. And now you can't even keep their secret. If you talk about your ex like this to me, why should I trust you? What will you do if me and you have an issue? How can I trust you? Okay? So when it comes to loving again and trusting again, find out why the last one didn't work. And then do the hard work so that when you get the opportunity to love again, you will be in the right position. Regarding trusting, make sure you're a trustworthy person. Don't give off all of your information, all of your data, all of the things that make you you. Just don't throw it everywhere, right? Just don't throw everything at people. Let them earn certain things. Let them earn certain things. Do you know that when you trust someone, you release oxytocin? The same, oh, I think he's here. Yay, 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 he's here. You release oxytocin, the same hormone you release when you have sex with someone. Trust is heavy, people. Yay. Man of the hour, sir.
Hi, so sorry. I've been in church because we have rehearsals for something. So
okay.
I didn't remember that it clashed with this. So sorry, I'm late.
No, that's fine. That is totally fine.
I'm at home, so.
There were a lot of things waiting for you. People have asked me questions. Let me just tell you, people have entered my DM to ask about you in my own DM.
Wow.
Yes, so one of the questions that they've asked, I said they should not worry that I'm generous. I'll help them ask you, is whether you are single, that if you're going to come here and teach us the courage to love, that are you available for us to love you?
Am I
told them not to worry.
I believe we all have the capacity to receive
this diplomatic answer.
What is happening? Can you hear me? I'm single, yes. If that's what you're waiting to hear, I am single, not married yet. So,
ladies, he has answered you people. So for those of you who are writers, please bring out your pen and your paper and start scripting. This is so amazing to sit with you. I was hoping you were not having the kind of problems I was having tonight.
So what problems were you having?
I almost sent you a message that should we cancel the session. I almost did. And I came online and saw all these lights. I was like, no, I can't shame all these people now. Let's make this thing work. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to read out some of the expectations people already have. So as I ask you questions, I would ask in the direct, oh, wow, someone said, let me marry you. Wow. Wow. Man, you do have.
I said, I'm single. You say, I'm being political. I said, I'm not yet married. You said, I'm being diplomatic. What do you want me to say?
Just give them a straightforward answer. I'm available. My DM is slippery. Slide inside. That's what you want to hear.
Oh, I'm actually not available.
Hey, yeah. Hell, severe heartbreak.
I'm actually not available right now. Okay.
He's not single. He just found a bride. Please, no more single.
Who said that?
It's in the comments. I'm looking for the old expectations. Anyway, there have been expectations regarding trusting again, loving again. And so I wanted us to just jump in.
I think with trust, I think we were talking about trust before. That was on when you said something about trust. But the only thing that, I think this is common knowledge with trust, it's we lose trust in, trust is earned by drops. But trust is lost by streams and by oceans or seas. So you can spend a long time in trust, but you can also destroy that trust that you've built in less than it. It takes 1 second to destroy it. It takes a great deal of effort to do good things. It takes minimal effort to cause catastrophe. And I think that's where we all be careful, because gaining trust back is something that you cannot do by yourself. You know, when you say, hey, I want to gain your trust, you must do it in partnership with the person whose trust is broken. They must be willing to give you space to earn that trust. They must be willing to give you that space, you know, some allowance to gain the trust back. And if they are not willing, then it might be very difficult to make your whole journey very, very difficult. And I think we should not forget that part. If you want to earn someone's trust after you've lost it, the first thing that you can do is by doing the things that you did before to earn the trust. Now, you must also understand that any inconsistency that is noticed with the ability to earn that trust back will be seen as unseriousness. If you are inconsistent, if you are on day off tomorrow, they will feel like you're not serious. So you need to understand that when you break someone's trust, it's not just about the trust. It's not just about what you have been. It's what you could be is in jeopardy. So the people need to understand that the future will be better. That's the language of earning trust. The future. Okay. So if you're able to assure them that despite all that you have done, despite your transgression, you're going to make it up to them.
Transgression.
Then I believe they'll be able to stay with you. So that's it.
In this context right now, I think the person whose trust was broken is the one asking now. Because it's easy for you to say, oh, they should earn my trust. But what we don't understand is that sometimes we make earning our trust hard. Like, earning the trust of some of us is harder than doing ultimate search. You might as well just give up and go home. What do you say to this person who is finding it difficult to let themselves trust people again?
When you've been broken, there's a language that you understand. And that language is the language of pain. And it takes a great deal of vulnerability to let yourself back into that space where you can be inflicted pain, or pain can be inflicted on you. It takes a great deal of sacrifice for you to let yourself, because all your brain sees is, I've seen this before. I've seen this before.
That's right.
It's almost like you've been with a cheating partner and you saw the sign. You ignored the sign, and then it came all out, because there's nothing that is hidden under the sun. And so when you forgive them, and maybe you move on to another person, or you stay with them, whatever you choose, when you see these subtle things that you saw before, it'll trigger
paranoid. That's right.
So if you keep seeing these little things, it will be difficult for you to let go. Because the whole essence of trust is you need to get yourself healed, because you have a wound. When your trust is broken, your armor has been broken. There's been a penetration in your armor, because trust is an armor. All right. He also say this is who we can build with. This is who it provides sort of security. It gives you peace at night. So when that peace is breached, then there is a very big problem. And so when you get to that point where you say, oh, I've seen this before, we need to ask a question. Have you forgiven them? Have you let yourself heal. Because you need to let yourself heal if you're ever going to get into any kind of relationship. Because
That's right. Even
if you're not romantically, without you being healed, you can feel a deep sense of distrust in another form of relationship. Mm-hmm. So not just in...
True.
Sorry about that. If someone cheats on you and you're going through that cycle of pain, when you go into business with another person, it will affect the quality of that business because everything in your mind, that's going up in your mind is you can't let this happen again. You can't let this happen again. So if you do not heal in one area, you will bleed on others.
Another one. That's right.
So your relationships in various contexts will experience a sort of degradation of quality because you are not at that optimal place.
True.
It's important that you understand that if you do not heal, you are always going to bleed. And the thing about bleeding is not just about bleeding on a...
Quotable quotes.
It's about bleeding on a person. The more you bleed, the less energy you have. The more you bleed, the less muscle you have, the less grit you have, the less or faith you have. All right. So the more you let yourself wallow in the pain of being, you know, heartbroken, the less your quality of life.
This is
all right. So it's important that even though the transgression is so much, you must decide to heal and you must decide to forgive and let go for yourself first for others.
So, I think that was pretty elaborate. You jumped into quite a lot of things. And I really wish someone is taking notes in this class. I really wish they are. You mentioned quite a few things I would want to touch on again. You spoke about someone hurting you and then taking that hurt. And now you're judging every other person. Every time you see it, it's like, oh, I've seen this. So psychologically, the way we process information is by generalization, deletion, or distortion. To generalize is to take one information in one place and use it in every other place. And that's a good thing. That's why you don't learn how to drive your car twice. But you can also generalize the wrong thing. Someone hurts you, an Igbo man hurts you, and you're like, Igbo men are this. Guy, you've only met one man out of how many states of Igbo men? Men are, when people tell me things like women are bitches and men are scum, first question I ask is, how many women do you know? In a world of 8 billion people, how many people do you, like, even if you were moving through them on a daily basis?
You see, as much as you do not know the number of people or you are not accessible to lots of people, there's one major thing that affects us, and that is influence. And the things that you set your eyes on will ultimately influence the way of life, will ultimately influence the lenses through which you see life. And so it's important also that when you go through all of this and you fix your eyes on negative scenarios, you fix your eyes on relationships that have failed, you fix your eyes on people
that
always sort of take off the scar from the healing wound. You know, each time your wound
reminds you of where you're coming from.
Yes, something that always reminds you, that always tells you that, listen, women are not to be trusted, men are scum. All these stories, all it does is influence your mind. And once you let yourself get subjected to that influence, because influence has been the major way people learn. People learn by influence, much more than schools or even the family. In fact, even in the family, influence is the
influence
most...
Influence is education.
Yeah, influence is the most important. it's important that people begin to take their eyes. And this is why I do what I do on here. Because I realize that there is a gap in our expectations of love. There is a gap in which we get out of love. There is such a huge gap that people do not know how to fill that gap. And so we have people who do not understand the dynamics of relationships. They do not understand the definition of love. They do not understand how it should be. They do not understand how a healthy love is, because there are a few people who can show these things. And if there is an overwhelming number of people who are showing the negative sides of this, it's all
everybody believes that.
Yes. It's all the skits that you watch shows you that the woman is not faithful or the man is not faithful. shows you that, oh, women cannot be trusted. If you leave her with this, she's
his money, she's always after. The man is always looking at bum bum. And I'm like, what is in all these kids? Why do you people watch them?
So much more than the entertainment value. Because most times we look at things from the front side. But what about the things that are passing through the back side? You know, what about the messages that
you're
are outside?
Of, shout. I want to shout.
What about the messages that are stronger than the pictures that you see? Mm-hmm. The things that will leave in your mind for longer, even when you forget about the scenario that you just saw.
Wow.
Because it's always better than that. So if you keep exposing all of this, ultimately you will not see good relationships. You'll always see the bad. And it reinforces a cycle, a vicious cycle that you find yourself in.
Mm-hmm. There was something you said earlier and it was so solid that I've just been holding on to it, not to lose it. You said something about if you don't heal, that trust is an armor. And so when you don't heal, you bleed. The more you bleed, the less grip you have. And at that moment, I almost screamed like, teach this. Can we please go back to that point? The point about you losing grip of life. Because a lot of times we feel like when I go through a breakup and I don't date or I'm angry, we feel like our exes get pained. You know how someone offends you and you just hold on to the pain like, oh, this person is going to go down because I'm still angry. You get traumatized. Maybe someone raped you and you hold on to the trauma. Like if I, Daratan Didi is going to dig into this trauma one. I cannot wait for her to do so. People hold on to trauma like, oh, if I hold on to this trauma long enough, this person is going to feel it. But it's the quality of your own life that is at stake. So would you please go back to that and expatiate how not healing, how not deciding to heal is making us lose out much more. Because whoever hurt us is most likely not still standing in the picture waiting to fix the damage they've done. They possibly don't even know the depth of the damage they've done. Okay? Would you please go on?
Okay. So when we use terms such as bleeding, we are trying to make people understand in a very visual form, in a very visual form, that transgressions really are like hooks. You know how, you know when you, or if you watch all these movies that have to deal with the medieval ages, you know, ancient England, all of that, something like Legend or Merlin or stuff, you would see that when a city is about to be attacked, you're going to have people who have things that are like anchors that are thrown into the other side of the wall. These anchors pierce itself into the fence on the inside. And so by that, the people outside can climb or scale that fence because there is something that has been thrown inside. So when you've been hurt, there's something that has been thrown inside of you that if you allow it, you can make an opening for something else.
Bro, you're preaching hard.
So if you're hurt in one area, you can let an opening for not just the hurt, you can let an opening for anger. You can let an opening for flippancy. You can let an for envy, and that envy is you see people who are doing this relationship thing well, and you're like, take this rubbish away. You get, and all of this is only because you've let yourself wallow in that place where you let transgression hook onto you. And most times, we always think that we are doing the other person a favor, or we are doing ourselves a favor by not forgiving them. Because we think, why should I forgive them? They are the ones that hurt me. Why should I? They've done so much damage. They need to see how much damage they have done to me. Most times when people
hurt you,
people don't care. After they hurt you, they can live and enjoy life. I don't know who taught us that when you're hurt by people, that somehow the people will suffer. In the most cases, they don't. In fact, they go on to live happier lives. And when you see them live happier lives, it makes you mad.
It's the happier lives.
Yes. They go on to live better lives than you would have ever imagined. And this is where you're thinking that why are they not experiencing a catastrophic life. Because mm-hmm. they did this to me. I mean, God of God, forget, they are children of God too. You know, there is an entitlement that we have that says, I will pray and God will curse you.
As if God is not saving them too.
Go on.
As if God is not trying to save them too. As if God did not send his son for them too.
Yes. As if, so when God looks at both of you, he says both of you are foolish. He says both of you are foolish. Because you see, the first thing that comes with your relationship with God is mm-hmm. forgiveness. Forgiveness is very
That's
powerful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your forgiveness hinged on your ability to forgive another person. So you will say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because you're saying, I am not eligible for the forgiveness of God because I'm not forgiving this other person. And Oof. If you let yourself at the mercy of the unforgiveness of God, mm-hmm. you're in a very big problem. Now, aside the spiritual implications of this, the emotional implication of this is you are mm-hmm. going to find yourself moving around with a plot that is connected to them. So you are going to be so heavy laden. And that heavy laden comes from the connection of the hurt between you and them. So you're always walking around and they are in your head. You see someone
you're looking for all their social media handles.
Yes.
You're looking at every food they eat. They're smiling. They picture. They have a girl in their hand. They went out. They traveled. Are you you have dug into something tonight. You have dug into something tonight. And I can't be more excited right now. I can't be more excited. But quickly, when we talk about forgiveness and bleeding and losing a grip of our own lives, right? I think a point comes where we draw the boundary of forgiveness and taking a stand and self-defense. A lot of people are prepared for physical self-defense. If I come to you with a knife, for example, you can think of hitting me or something, but way too many people do not have an emotional defense, which was the conversation of trust we're having at the beginning about how you can't just give trust. For those of us who are Bible students on this call, the Bible says you don't give your pearls to swines. This is not to call a person a swine. It's an example of what you don't do, right? There are things, I'm meeting Mr. Erastus today on a video call for the first time. I haven't even met him physically. It would be an anomaly for him to send me his virtual ATM 16 digits with the pin. So I wouldn't do that. I don't mind if you want to shout. I don't mind. But he wouldn't do that because of value. So I think the question we want to ask ourselves is, how much value do I place on me? Because if you had emotional values and if you had emotional self-defense in place, yes, these things would have happened, but you will be more focused on making sure, like he said, that other things don't go inside. When you got to the part of the hook and how flippancy comes in, way too many single people are on these two extremes, and I'm going to paint the two extremes. I didn't even know. It took another therapist friend of mine to let me notice. He said, do you notice that single people are either, oh, I want to love, I want to love, I want to love, that they are not preparing for the love? Or they're on the other extreme, like, I beg, it's not such a big deal. Meanwhile, in their heart of hearts, they are craving it. It's a God-went situation in their mind. And so that is happening because you also don't have emotional defenses. You're acting flippant. You're acting flippant as a defense technique so that you don't worry about what you're worried about. You know deep down that you're worried about your relationship status and you're acting flippant like, oh, it's not a big deal. But the question is, where is your flippancy coming from? Where's your relationship carelessness coming from? This hard gay you're doing, hard boy you're doing. Is he really hard boy or is he heartbreak? Did they serve you breakfast that was hot? And now you are using hard boy as defense. If you are just joining us, if you have anything you want us to cover, please put it in the comment section. Your expectations, put it in the comment section and I would read it out or ask him questions that would tie into it. Another question someone asked before you came in was the question of vulnerability. How do I know who qualifies for my vulnerability? How do I know when to become vulnerable?
The thing about vulnerability and trust is you don't decide who to give it to. You don't.
Okay.
If you don't tell yourself how to feel when you get home,
That example.
When you get home, when you get to a home that is loving, even if it's not yours, you immediately feel at peace. Even if it's not your house, but if the place, the energy there, the people there are so loving for each other, you will be able to sleep well. So when you meet someone who feels like home, vulnerability is easier when you meet the quality of person that triggers or that tells you that this is a safe place. All of it is safety. And safety is communicated by a few things. That those few things are with words, I will not leave you. And it's backed up with serious action. When saying, I will not leave you, the action that they take is not, I will not leave you. It's, I will stand against anything that wants to take you away from me. So,
that one.
Words are important, but the actions that back those words must be structurally more critical than the quality of words that have been put out. And then the third thing is, when you're giving out a safe place, you must understand also that you must put the other person's needs before yours. You must. That's why two people who put each other's needs before each other. So if both put each other's needs before each other, we won't notice that one person is putting another person's need before themselves. Because it's a
balance. Because they'll be covered for.
Yes. Because it's a balanced equation. All right. So when you say, I want to be vulnerable with you, you won't ever tell yourself, let me start being vulnerable.
No. You will just notice you started doing it.
Notice that you're vulnerable with them. And that's because your heart has learned to slow down. You've gotten to that point and take off your belt and you can sit and see. There is, that's why people know the kinds of relationships that they're in. Men and women know that they are not being given 100%. When you're in a relationship that is caring, that's everything that you desire, you need an explanation. You won't need anybody outside to tell you that this thing is it. Most times you know that this is it, but the rubbish within your head will agree. You want to taste everything. Your immaturity, your emotional immaturity will come out and say, let's also add this or that guy. Let's go. But deep down,
so let's go and add. Is it shopping basket?
Because most times, people in relationships always let their relationships go down the drain because their partners are not 100% of who they want their partners to be. So the person who's in a relationship with you and is good, let's say he's a guy, you say, he's a good guy, but you don't get money rich. But this other guy with the outside, he gets more money, right? So let's add this guy that is outside. And then we are with
Goodness.
And then on the flip side, you might say, this babe no get called rich. She no set like that. If we go outside, people no go hear me. So you go and look for another person that
so
you can go out.
So we're dating for
with.
People. We're dating for people, not even for ourselves.
That you can go out with. And then that gap or that investment, that because it's an investment, it's an emotional investment, is a part of you that you're giving to the other person. The person in a relationship with you will notice that you're not giving me everything. I want
that's right, emotional cheating.
And they are not being fed 100% of that energy. They will not be vulnerable with you. Immediately, the person knows that I am not your only alternative. They will not move the mountains for you. It's like calling someone and saying, hey, I need some money. And then the person looks at you and says, you have this friend, you have this friend, you have this person, you have this other person. So you must have gone through all these people before you came to me. So I might as well turn you down, right? Because they understand that they are not the only persons in your life. There's somebody else that you can. In fact, you might have even called several other people for help before you called them. All right?
Wow.
But maybe your sibling, your younger sibling, knows that you're the only person. If you don't help them, it might be difficult for them to get help.
Okay.
Then they're going to call you. All right, so that's the place of being the safe place before wanting or needing to give or receive vulnerability. You must be a safe place. You must be a safe place.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the conversation of security, I hope we all know that the need for security is a biological need, like is fundamental. If you look at it, I think it's Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You find security there. The same thing when it comes to people's psychological needs. Certain people want certainty. Like, I want to know this is going to happen at so-so time, just so that they can be safer. The question is, can your partner trust you in terms of decisions? Are you the person who will make plans to go out and then 5 minutes to the end, you say, oh, something came up. Something is always coming up. Babe, can you send me some money? Yes. Then when it's the time for you to send it, something came up. Babe, I need to go out and do this with my friends. Can you help out? You say yes. And then something comes up. If you cannot, it is better to let this person know so that they don't count on you. Because the more people count on you and you break their trust, their minds begin to rewire regarding you that, okay, this person cannot be trusted. So all of us have people on our phones that we cannot call if we have an emergency. Everybody has that one person. You know that if you call this person, they will be late or they will not show up. You know the kind of things you can call them for. You can't call them if you're going through an emotional breakdown. That's a problem. If your partner cannot call you, that shows that there is the issue of vulnerability. Now, how do you know there is no vulnerability in your relationship? When you have pain, it's easy to share joy with people. I hope we know. Even though they've Africanized our minds to say, oh, you don't share your good news so that somebody does not wish you ill luck. Even at that, it's still easy to share good news than share bad news. It's easy to call your friend and say something like, babe, I want knack, than call your friend and say, babe, I'm depressed. You both can make a joke from the first one. It's not easy to make a joke from the second one.
I think this is where women ask the question when they say, well, my man is not being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's the same man you tell to man up. That's the same man you say, ah, why are you jumping on the
car? Table broken. Yes, sir.
You know, some women will say, I want a man who is vulnerable with me, but I don't want an emotional man. I want a man who is a man.
It's impossible. And it's
fact, these guys are not looking for a place where they can be men all day. A man needs a place where he can be a child, where he can
be
a child. In fact, people need that place. And I talked about this in a poem where I said, you know, I want love like a kite, you know. Talking about a safe place where we can let our inner children to grow. Mm-hmm. Relationship is where you can be children in that relationship. Mm-hmm. Then there is no discussion for vulnerability. You need to go and maybe download vulnerability. You need to open your head for vulnerability. Because you want vulnerability. You want someone who will open up. But once they open up, you will shut them out. You will act as though you're not interested. You will act as though what they are saying does not make any sense. You will act as everything that they are saying is, you trivialize what they are saying. When they say, saying like that? Is it not just this little thing? When you minimize someone's feelings, it becomes difficult for them to talk about their feelings anymore. That's why a man, most times, when he tells you something once, tells you twice, sees how you react with it, he tells you something like, and then you continue pressing your phone. And you're like, okay, babe, where will we go? And then you turn the conversation about yourself. Mm-hmm. Then a man knows, I can't talk about this with this woman. You know, I'll just show her that I am Superman. Let this relationship go. And then they'll look for who they can be Clark Kent with. Because you always need to take off the mask. You cannot be masked all day. Yes, masks are important, but if you carry a mask all day, you lose sight of your self-identity. Mm-hmm. And if a man loses his self-identity because of a relationship with you, guess who is going to suffer? You will.
Wow. You know, talking about man, we have a conference coming up, August 31st to September 2nd in Abuja, our first physical conference. And we have master classes. The master class for the men is called Masculine and Multisensual. So when you spoke about a man being emotional, I was like, this bro went ahead of me to pour water on the ground. Because way too many times, we want a man who is the hero of the story, forgetting this man is also a person like us. Yes, he does have larger muscles. Yes, he can be more analytical. Yes, he's more of a go-getter. It does not mean that he doesn't have hormones and emotions. It does not mean. When this whole thing became really interesting was when surveys started showing that men were falling in love faster than women. I was like, what? Men falling in love? I thought they were the hard boys. Right? And so, ladies, when you are asking a man for vulnerability, I will say to you what I have had men say to me in therapy sessions and during conversations. One time a man said to me, he said, if I break down, who will hold me? If I calm down, if your man is going to be vulnerable, can you handle his tears? Can you handle his anger? When we say things like, it's not a big deal now, it's not just that small thing I just said to you, why are you not making it look like a big deal? Oh, it's a big deal to him. It doesn't mean it's a big deal to you. The response, the feeling is dependent on the receiver, not the giver. It's not the giver. I can give you 10,000 and it's a big deal to you. And I can give some other person 1 million. And he's like, it's just 1 million. I needed 10 because of what he needed for. You don't know what emotional starvation this man has been going through. You don't know what struggles he's been managing. And then you're going to go ahead and shut down his emotions. I'm going to take the last question and we can get ready to round off this session. The question says, how do you discern people who create the illusion of a safe space? How do you discern the real one from the fake one? Because some people, and that is true, people do create the illusion of safe spaces. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm very worried about coming out and just having the content for like my masterclasses out here. Because there's one playboy somewhere taking notes with all his life and one girl who is planning to... No, but it's true. It's true. Half the time when you have like sex mastery classes, half the people in that class are not there to pleasure their partner. They are looking for who to sabotage sexually. They're looking for who to emotionally sabotage. That's why masterclass this year is going to be heavy. I'm coming in with everything I know for the ladies. And the person coming in for the men is coming in with everything he knows. And it's happening in Abuja. We didn't just want to do something online. Like, come sit in the room. Let's take your questions. Let's see what you need. So please, let's answer to his question. How do you create the real one? How do you identify the real one from the fake one?
The real... and the fake.
Safe space.
There's one thing that always distinguishes.
Okay, he might have gotten a call again. How do you distinguish real safe spaces from the fake one? Well, did you have to tell the person to make the space? That's one of the ways you know. Is this person trustworthy by themselves? Or did you have to shout at them? Hey, I told you, when you say something, do it. I said I want it like this, do it like this. Did you have to nag the person into doing it? So, for example, when a man asks you, what do you want in a man? There's the place of saying, oh, I want a man who's trustworthy, right? But then you're going ahead and say things like, I want a man who opens the door for me, right? That is interesting, but it can also be, okay, Erastus is back. It might also be that when you said it, this person now decided, oh, I'm going to open the door for her. It doesn't necessarily mean they wanted to open the door for you. They don't have the courtesy to open the door for you. They don't have the discipline to open the door for you. They don't have the idea. They don't have the emotional strength to be present for you like a gentleman is. So by the time you give him a rule book or you give her a rule book on how to love you and it's verbatim and the person goes ahead and only does what you've instructed them to do, they are not really the safe space they claim to be. They are merely replicating what they think you will like. The question now becomes, when you withdraw the rules, will they still do it? If I don't tell him to move me from the side of the road where a car is coming from, will he move me from the side of the road? If I don't tell him to take care of the kids, that I won't be available, will he do it? If I'm feeling sick, will he cook? How will I know? Does he do it for himself? Does he do it for his friends? Does he do it for other people? Because anybody can be cool to you when they are dating you. But will they do it for other people? Will they do these things for other people? That's a great way for you to know if this person means what they're saying. Okay. Please go ahead and answer the question on knowing the real and fake safe space.
I think the difference between the real and the fake is the difference in character. Character is foundational thing. Before the superficial, character is foundational. Now, character is one thing that assures you that if you say one today, you say one tomorrow. You mean one tomorrow. And what we see most times with fakes is fakes look like the real thing. But when subjected under pressure, all right, it comes down to bear. When we have to get down or roll our sleeves down. We see the one that has the muscle for it. We see the one that just slapped on the tag for it. And we see the one who has the ability to actually get it done. And so one thing you could use in knowing who is the real person is even when nobody is watching, how is their life?
That's right.
You know, there is something that we always say. It's how you know someone is genuine is how they treat someone who cannot offer them anything.
That's right.
So how you would treat the person who is below you socially by class, how you treat someone who is servicing your needs, how you treat someone who you do not feel is
dependent,
up to your financial
dependent on them even. How they treat kids around them, other people's kids, other people's staff.
Exactly. Because how you know that someone is real is if he's not getting anything out of it, he's still behaving in the same manner as though he will get something out of it. Then you know this person is a real person. So you go out on a date and talking so rudely to the person at the door and you think, oh, he treats me nice. He likes me.
He was defending me. He was defending me.
Yes. I have to say, he's very abusive to everybody else, but to you, he's an angel. And you're like, I'm the only one that understands him. I'm the one that can calm him down. I'm the only one that can calm him down. I will say, this is not you. This is not... They will slap you one day. Because people can pretend for only so long. And they pretend when they need to get something from you. In fact, fakeness has a lifespan that is shorter than the real thing can offer. So anything that is fake, any person that is fake with you, who is, you know, just after you for superficial things, notice that you don't have the grit to go after you if things do not go as planned. So in the long run, you are not able to give them sex. So back up. If in the long run, you're not able to, you know, tune to their needs, only after the needs rather than the person. So you would also notice that when you're dealing with someone who is real, someone who wants to stay, and someone who wants to be with you for what he can get.
I really wish we could go on. I'm going to have to round off now because this bug here is begging for mercy. But for those of us who joined, here's what I can guarantee you. Erastus also is coming back to this platform, either before conference or after conference. Conference is August 31st to September 2nd. So you're either going to come back before conference. I'm hoping it's before conference. But you said something earlier that I want to give them a free resource to. You said what we listen to and what we see has the capacity to influence us. So at Audacity Nation, we created a playlist, an affirmation playlist last year called Speak Your Change. It's an audiobook. There's the ebook and then there's the audiobook. There are affirmations for your sex life, your finances, your health and everything. So what I'm going to beg you to do right now, because I can't stay on any longer, is follow the accounts tonight. By tomorrow morning, the link for you to download will be in the bio. Once we put it up tomorrow, we'll give you the design. You brought up the conversation and I remembered, oh, we do have a resource that matches what he just said. We have something that can help what influences you. So instead of coming on social media and saying, oh, sex is supposed to be crappy at this, you now have the right words to listen to every morning to put in your car. You can download it even. So you can create this playlist on your mobile phone, on Boomplay, wherever you prefer your playlist to be. Go ahead and curate this personal playlist and just listen to it over and over again. That way you start saying the right things and start conditioning your mind for the right results. I hope this session has helped you. If you have more questions, here's what I can ask you to do though. If you have more questions, when we upload this video, put it in the comment section or send it to our DMs. If we have to send it to him and beg that, sir, please make short videos for these responses, or if I have to make short videos to respond to them, we will respond to every question you send to our DMs tonight. We promise we will within the next 1 week. If you're just joining, please follow the accounts and we will give you a free tool that can help your influence level. Thank you so much, Erastus. This was so much more than I could have imagined. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a fantastic evening.
Bye. Bye.
Ladies, he's not available. Oh, he's not available. Sorry to break your heart. Sorry. In case you just joined, he's no longer available.